All right, week two of If Money Talked. So that's what we've been doing. We've been allowing our money to talk to us. We're not going to talk about money. We're going to let money do the talking. And what would money say if money talked? That's kind of the whole premise of where we want to be over these next couple weeks together. So last week, if you missed it, and you can catch up online at any time, and those online, you can go right to our YouTube page and find everything. I can add meaning to your life, but I am not the meaning of life. So I can add to your life, but I'm not the meaning of life. I'm not where everything falls and everything goes, but I can add meaning to your life. That's what we learned last week as we dived into the whole subject of greed and learned about that whole idea that we just think sometimes that everything that comes in is for my consumption, and we don't know of the other things that could happen or take place. So this week, and I'm actually going to give it to you right up front, what the line is, what is it that money wants to say to us this week, and it is this. The moment you think you own me, I actually own you, okay? And the moment you think, I've got this thing figured out, I got it, it's under control, it's mine, that's when it owns you. That's when it controls you, runs you, dictates to you how you will live your life. So think about that. Keep that in the back of your mind as we go into a really famous parable in Matthew chapter 25. And you can turn there. You can follow along on the screen. However you want to do online, you can follow along right in the bottom of the screen and follow along with that. I will tell you, this parable, most of you have probably heard of it, but I am telling you it is deeply disturbing, okay? And I will tell you why about that, okay? But as we get into that, how we think about finances. I want us to think for a moment before we jump into this parable that most of us allow our income to drive our spending. If we'd be honest about that, that means when we get a raise, yes, why? We can spend more now. That's just the way we think. The more income, the more money coming in, the more it can drive our spending. Okay, that's just the way most of us think. However, there are some who, our spending exceeds our income. And if that's you, you're going to be upside down really quick, really fast. And there are lots of ways that we can help you. We would like to encourage you to not let that happen. But that happens for people. Their spending exceeds your income. You can't do that for very long, or you're buried, okay? You're buried and you're in trouble. So understand that, okay? And the moment you think you own me, money says, I actually own you. So in Matthew chapter 25 is this parable. Now, this parable of the talents, that's what it's called, the parable of the talents, is one that the ending ought to really make us think. There are things in this parable, there are lots of ways to dissect it and talk about it, but there's a lot in it that makes us just go, wow. That can be troubling. That can be really disturbing if you start to think about it, okay? And so this has gone, the more I've read it and looked at it, from one of my favorite parables to, if I could vote something out of the Bible, this might be it. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning, okay? Because it's very challenging. And sometimes, and I've told you this before, we have what I heard a rabbi teach one time called the lullaby effect. And that means we read something over and over so many times that it just, oh, yeah, that's in there. Oh, isn't that interesting? Okay. For example, when was the last time you read Genesis 3 and then go, wait a minute, time out. Why is a snake talking? Okay. Has any of you done that? No, most of us just go, oh, yeah, the serpent talks to Eve, right? Any of that happen to you? Okay. That's what I mean by the lullaby effect. We've read it so many times. You've read it so many times. You just kind of skim over things that should make you stop and go, that's weird. That's challenging. That's interesting. So make sure you do that. That's why I tell you to read scripture all the time. It doesn't matter if you've read the 23rd Psalm 500 times. Guess what happens on 501? You see something you didn't see before. That's how scripture works, okay? So this is one of those parables. I'm afraid the lullaby effect comes in, and we just, oh, yeah, I've heard that parable, right? The guy gets so much, and three guys get so much, and then they go out, and they're supposed to do something with it. I know all about that parable. Maybe, Okay? Maybe. I'm hoping you learned something new today. And I'm hoping we learned something new together. And it's going to change the way we think about money. That the moment we actually think it owns us, we own it, it owns us. And Jesus wants to think differently. Remember we said last week, Jesus actually talked more about money than he did heaven. Of all the things we think Jesus would talk about, he talked about heaven all the time, right? He talked about money more. Probably because he couldn't understand how many people were owned by it. And how many people down through the ages would read his words and would be owned by it. And we have to think differently about it. So, Matthew chapter 25, here is the parable of talents. And we'll read parts of it and just summarize parts of it. For it is like, what is it is like? The kingdom of heaven. Jesus is trying to explain to him what God's kingdom is like. Okay? So, new perspective, new thinking. This is what God's kingdom is like. It's like a man going on a journey. He summons his slaves and entrusts his property to them. Okay? So you just got to stop right away. Whose property is it? It's not the slaves, okay? It's not the servants, some of your translations will say. It's not them. It is the masters, okay? That's just big right there. If we stopped and we just got a hold of that idea, it could change everything. That what we have is a gift from God. That as James wrote, the brother Jesus, okay? That every good and perfect gift is from above, okay? That means what I have has been entrusted to me, given to me by God. And what am I doing with that? Because Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's not that you just own everything and do whatever you want with whatever you have. We think of things differently when we start following Jesus. That now everything I have is a gift from God and belongs to him. And he's entrusted it to me. He's given that to me. Have you thought about that? Next time your paycheck comes and it gets direct deposited into your bank and, ooh, what are we going to get this week, right? Or you got your list of what's going on. You thought, oh, God has entrusted this with me this week. Most of us didn't think that. You know why? God didn't work our job, right? That's probably what most of you are thinking. Jesus didn't come and do my job. I did my job, okay? And I earned my money, and my money's in the bank now, and we got to do these things with my money. We rarely think that what we have has been entrusted to us by God, and now we get to use that in some incredible ways. So, right off, he's getting us to think differently. It's not mine. God has entrusted it, given it to me. To one, he gave 5 talents. Now, I'm going to change this a little bit because it'll help us. Just think $5,000, okay? And if it would help you because you want a bigger sum, just think $5 million, okay? But just think big sum of money here. He gives 5 talents to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Now, this is a really important line too, okay? Each according to his ability, what they had the ability to do. So often you and I sit around and we compare ourselves with other people. And we shouldn't do that. Why? Because God has created me. He's given me gifts. He's entrusted me with certain things. Some of you, he's entrusted with more, okay? That just means more responsibility, more accountability, okay? But the master decides how much I'm going to entrust you with. How much am I going to give to you? And it's all according to your ability. That's what he's talking about here. He continues. Then he went on his journey, okay? Then he leaves. And he leaves, just think about a long period of time, okay? This is not a 3-day trip, okay? This is a long period of time. Long enough that they could forget, long enough that they could be like, I don't think he's ever coming back, okay? Maybe we're just going to spend all this, okay? Long enough that they might question what they're doing and what is happening. So gives them, entrusted to them, goes on a journey. And what would these servants do? What would they do? What would they do with what was entrusted to them? Okay, well, Jesus, at telling his story, tells us this is the way it turns out. The one who had received 5 talents went off right away and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Okay, so he just doubled it. Okay, doubled it. Obviously, he was given the most because he had some abilities, and he took it, and he did something with it, and what was entrusted to him, and he doubled it. Okay? Pretty good, okay? In the same way, the one who had two gained two more, okay? He, again, doubled what was given to him, okay? So it's going great, right? But the one who received one talent went out, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money in it. Why would he do that, right? If you ever, read this, Jesus is telling this story, but why would he do that? Why would he just do that? But that's what he did. That's what he did. He took the one thing he was given, and maybe he just looked and said, this is not fair, okay? Why I only get one, okay? This guy got five. This person got two, okay? You're scrolling through Instagram. They get so much more than me, God. This isn't fair. And so you're grumbling against God because you think you deserve more, and you should get more, and you should have more. The question is, what are you doing with what you have now? Because it's not a comparison game. It's not I look at somebody else and I just got to beat them, okay? I've got to look at what God's entrusted to me and what am I doing with it? Because the guy with one, for whatever reason, digs a hole, sticks it in there, buries it back, stomps the ground, and moves off and just continues on with his life. And how many of us, God has gifted us, he's entrusted us with things, and we've just been that guy. We've been that one talent person, that $1,000 person who just thought, well, everybody got more than me. It's just not fair. I'm not like so-and-so, and I don't have this talent. And I'm not like this person. I don't have these talents. And I don't have these gifts, and I don't have these abilities, and they have more money than me, and they can do this. And so we just comparison our way out of doing anything. And so you know what we really do with what God's given to us? We dig a hole, and we bury it, because that's about what we've done. We've done nothing with it. God's given some of you leadership abilities. He's given you so many gifts and talents. Read Romans 12 sometime and read all these gifts that God gives us, because that's what he does in the church. He just gives gifts. And how many have buried, dug a hole, and buried in the ground and done nothing with it? After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled his accounts with them. And what you need to know, okay, is that Jesus saves his harshest words for the last guy who did nothing. Who did nothing. And he gives us a little insight, okay, because he talks about that, the one guy, because if you're going to come back to the master and all you're going to have is a dirty bag, because obviously you buried it, right? So it's dirty now, okay? And you come back, and you just kind of plop this thing down. There's like dust everywhere, right? There's dirt everywhere, and you're just going to plop it down. You better have an excuse, right? And his excuse is kind of funny. Well, you're hard and you're difficult, and I didn't know what to do with it, and they all got more than me, right? I just gave up and I buried it. And he saves his harshest criticism for that guy who did nothing. That's what he saved his harshest criticism for. The person who did nothing. Not, he didn't look at the other guys and say, well, you could have got me more. No, why didn't you do anything is basically the answer. Why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you do anything with what I've given you? Okay, you just kind of looked around and compared. You looked around and said, it's not fair. You looked at me and said, you know, I can't do anything with that. I personally, you want to know what I think a little bit's happening here? The guy with one talent doesn't really know who his master is. He doesn't know him. So he makes some assumptions about him. He makes some assumptions about him that just aren't true, that aren't right. And because of those assumptions, he ends up living out this digging a hole and burying his stuff and doing nothing with it. I start wondering, how many of us have made assumptions about God that aren't true? That aren't true. That God's just the person who's just, you know, he's just angry and he's just waiting for me to mess up and, ooh, he's going to strike me at that moment because I've messed up. That who you think God is? Do you think God's the person who's just waiting at the end to punish you? That's just God. When you read sections of scripture and it talks about that we're responsible and accountable for our lives, and we actually give an account to Jesus at the end of time for what we've done with our lives, are you just picturing that's just going to be bad? That's going to be like it was in your house where you never could do anything right, and you were always wrong, and it was always your fault, and it was always bad, okay? Is that the way you picture that? Do you picture that as a person sitting on a judgment seat, kind of looking down at you and say, you did bad, you did bad? Is that whatever you think this is going to be? Okay, that's not what it's like when you have a relationship with somebody. What changed is the two other individuals had a different relationship with the master, a relationship that said, I'm going to go out and do whatever I can for my master. He loves me. He serves me. He does all these things for me. I'm going to give him everything I have. And if it turns out the end, I double it, great. If I don't, I tried. But I'm going to go out swinging. And I'm going to go out trying. And I'm going to go out doing something, not just digging a hole, burying it, sitting down and going, oh, well. I think they had a different relationship with the master that caused them to act differently than the guy with the one talent. So I got to ask you, what is your relationship with Jesus like? Who do you think he is? Part of the reason I beg you to get into scripture is you're going to encounter a different God than you hear about everywhere else. You're going to encounter a different God than you've been told that he really is. So you think he's angry, you think he's upset, you think he's judging. Everything's about judgment. You ever caught that? Okay, everything's about judgment. Oh, we're getting judged. That's why everything's going on. We're getting judged. Everything about judgment and God's after us. And if that's what you think, you have not opened your Bible, because you will find a very different God that you will encounter that desires a relationship with you. And the biggest thing he wants to do is put his arm around you. I love you. I created you. I made you. I don't care what anybody else has said about you. I made you. I made you on purpose and for a purpose. And I have something in mind for you. So take what I've given to you and use it. Use it. But if you think God's unfair and God's mean and God gave somebody else more, you just might be tempted to dig a hole, stick your stuff in it, and do nothing. And stand before Jesus and make a bunch of excuses that you didn't have to make. The goal is to do something with what God has given to us. Jesus' point. Didn't matter how much each servant was asked to manage. Because remember, that's what the guy thought. Oh, you gave them all this money. Now, the amount isn't the point. If you're comparison shopping, okay, that's not the point of this whole thing. What matters with what they did with what they were asked to manage. That's all that matters. What are you doing with what God has given to you? Forget anybody else. What are you doing with what God has given to you? Because if we could sit down and talk, God has given you lots. Okay, we are so fortunate. We live in one of the richest places in the world. We have so much available to us. We have so much given to us. We have so much available to us. All that matters is, what are we doing with what God has given to us? See, when you manage someone else's money, you are responsible and accountable, right? That's how that works, okay? Some of you, that's your job, okay? You are in a business, and you are responsible for managing that business money. You know what happens if you manage it really, really bad? Well, you end up on the news for the wrong reasons, okay? That's really the truth, okay? You end up in the newspaper for all the wrong reasons. Bad, okay? And we've seen lots of that, right? Well, why? Well, you were managing somebody else's money. And when you manage somebody else's money, you're both responsible and accountable. So why don't we think of our lives as that way? That we're responsible and accountable because we're managing someone else's money. Someone else's gifts that he has given to us. Someone else's things that they have entrusted to us. That's why Scripture says we're responsible and we're accountable, because we're managing for somebody else. So, right? I know, a little heavy today. But how are you doing managing the wealth God has given to you? How are you doing with that? How is it going? You know, are you looking for opportunities that God gives you to be able to use that? And I like the word wealth better than money, because I want you to think of everything God has given to you. Because sometimes it isn't just about the money. Sometimes it is about the things that we can give and we can donate and we can help people and we give our time and we give our resources and we give all these things. It's good to think of everything that God has given to us as our opportunity to give that. So, here's a simple exercise. You can do this or not, okay? This isn't school. This isn't homework, okay? So you can save your email, okay? That's not what's going on. I just want to ask you to think about doing something. And some of you already do this, okay? So you're already ahead of the game and you already know this. And so that means you get to go home today and you get to review, okay? Because you've already done this, okay? For everybody else, track your spending for 1 week. Just 1 week. Okay? Why would I do that, right? Why? Really? Ed, I got enough stuff to do. I'm busy. Okay? Ed, are you coming over to watch my kids so I can track my spending for a week, right? I understand. Why would I do that? Because it's not your money. You're a manager, not an owner. That's why you should do it. That's why you should try that for 1 week. Just to see, where is it going? What am I spending on? Where is it going? Because remember last week, if we just assume it's all for my consumption, that I'm just going to spend whatever I want and do whatever I want because it's all for me. But what if it's not ours? And we're just the manager. We're not the owner. And everything's God's anyway. Right? You should, I should, we should be knowing where all our master's money is going. If it's that serious, and he's the owner, and we get to partner with him, and he gives to us generously, and we use that, then shouldn't we know where that's going? And shouldn't we know how we're doing? And are we really just digging a hole and sticking it in? Is that just basically what we're doing because we've taken all our talents and all our gifts and everything God's given to us and just kind of done that with it? Because maybe we didn't know what to do. Do something. Step out. Do something. Use what God has given to you, because that's what he desires. Okay? I'm telling you, I think we're going to hear very few words from Jesus about the stuff we tried and failed. I'm telling you. I think we're going to hear very few words about that. I think we're going to hear a lot more words about the stuff we thought about doing and did nothing. I think we're going to hear far more about that from Jesus, who said, why didn't you step out? Why didn't you take that challenge? Why didn't you use your gifts? Why didn't you just take a little bit of your time there and invest it? Why didn't you take part of what I've given to you and use it? Why didn't you? Why didn't you? Why didn't you? Not, I failed, I failed, I failed. No. Why didn't you step out and use it? So I want to pray for us this morning. I want you to consider just knowing, where's my money going? Where's it going? What am I doing with what I have been giving? And if you are doing nothing, today is a great day to stop doing nothing and start doing something. Stop digging a hole and burying what God's given to you, basically, and not using it. And let's use what God's given to us for our joy and for his glory. Let me pray for us this morning, and we're going to worship God one more time. Father, I know it's a really heavy lesson this morning, but I pray that it would just break through maybe our preconceived notions of this parable maybe our preconceived ideas of who you are and get us to think differently. Father, most of us think it's our money. We worked the job. We got the check. The check had my name on it. It's mine. We don't think that when we start following you, we gain a new perspective, that everything comes from you, that every good and perfect gift is from above. And we get the chance to take what you've given to us and use it and do something with it. Father, forgive us when we're like that one talent guy who digs a hole and buries it and does nothing. Forgive us for those gifts you've given to us that we've basically dug a hole and did nothing. For the gifts and talents and abilities you've given to us that we've dug a hole and done nothing. For all the ways, Father, you've blessed us. And instead of passing that on, using that for your glory, we've dug a hole and buried it. Today, we are stopping the digging. And we're going to start doing. And we're going to leave all the results up to you. So, Father, as we worship you one more time, may we remember we do this out of heart, full of love, because you have loved us, you died in our place, you rose again for our salvation. That's why we do this. Not because we are trying to earn everything, you have paid it all. But because we are grateful for all that you have given to us. So, Father, we give you this now. Help us to start and to put things into action and start doing. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.